Good morning. Okay, kids, if you're fifth grade or under, you can go to with Alice. If you're over sixth grade and up, stick around. Well, one thing which wasn't mentioned in announcements, which I am going to mention here, just poinsettia time again. If you would like to buy a poinsettia to decorate the front of the church, please mark on the box "used for church." If you want to take it home with you right away, mark that you're going to keep it and take it home with you. I just want to... Well, you can stay if you really want to. I won't kick anybody out. Kevin repents. Okay, as we continue with missions... In our preparation for missions conference, a couple of weeks ago we saw what Jesus had to say about missions. And before that we looked in the Old Testament in Genesis at missions. Now this week we're going to go to the book of Acts. And what we're going to see here is the use of the Old Testament in missions by the apostles. Now remember that the apostles, the scriptures that they referred to, was what we refer to as the Old Testament, Septuagint. It would have been, it was translated into Aramaic instead of being in Hebrew. Are they taking it from Hebrew and Aramaic and translated into Greek? I'm sorry, the Septuagint. So it's in Greek, which is language that just about everybody spoke and read. And that's what they're referring to. They had the Old Testament, well, we refer to the Old Testament. And we'll see that God's heart for missions has always been there. Let's pray. We prepare to go. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and we ask that you would open our hearts to it this morning. Lord, we ask right now that you would speak here through me. Lord, that your anointing be upon me this morning, that the words I speak would indeed be your truth. And that each person here would be encouraged and blessed by you. Lord, we thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that your heart has always been for the lost. And that your plan has always been that all who would receive you could. So, Lord, we just come before you this morning, seeking your face. Meet with us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Two weeks ago, this is the last time I preached, we looked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts, and we took the quotes of Jesus, as Jesus said, as he says right here, and this one I didn't give you, Mike, but from Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And he makes that command. And he tells them to wait. He's told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And they wait. The apostles, the disciples. They gather in Jerusalem and they wait for the coming Holy Spirit. And on Pentecost Sunday, I'm not sure it was a Sunday, on the day of Pentecost, and I'm not sure what day of the week it was, but on the day of Pentecost, they're all together, and the Holy Spirit came like the sound of a wind. It felt like tongues of fire come down and anoint them. They started speaking in tongues. And people were able to hear the gospel who hadn't heard it before. People said, hey, these guys must be drunk to be doing all this weird stuff. And Peter stands up and he says to them in Acts chapter 2, verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. I'm just going to back up. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. All. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Those words that are recorded in Acts were first recorded in Joel. The book of Joel, the prophet Joel made this prophecy. He said, this is what's going to happen. God spoke to me and told me to write this down, told me to speak this out, and that's what he did. He said that all people would have the Holy Spirit poured on them, and that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord would be saved. Back in the Old Testament. This is the basis for missions. God hasn't changed. And it's not selective in that it's for these people over here. No, it's for everyone who will call on the name of the Lord. And who will receive the Holy Spirit? All. He will pour it down on all people. On all who will receive Him. It's there for Him. The Holy Spirit is there for everybody who will receive it. It's no longer exclusive. Us only club. We all like to have our little exclusive groups, our own little clubs. But God said, that's not the way it's going to be. Well, we move on and we see that Barnabas and Saul, who later has his name changed to Paul, have started missions. Their first missionary trip. And at the very beginnings of it, we're in this first trip, in Acts chapter 13, verse 41. we have Paul quoting this passage. He says, "Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. For I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you." Now, Paul is talking, and he's preaching to people and telling them, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. And we look today and we say, look, you scoffers, wonder and perish. And before Paul said it, before I said it, Habakkuk said it. Habahu? It's one of the minor prophets. You'll find him if you really look closely. You'll probably have to get out your index or if you got tabs and look to find it. It's a shorter book. Not very well read. But he's got some good stuff to say. And Habakkuk lays out there, chapter 1, verse 5 of his, this passage. Look, you scoffers, wonder and perish, for I am going to do something in your days that you would never believe, even if someone told you. And this is as Barnabas and Saul, or not Barnabas and Saul, but Paul at this point. They've been speaking in a synagogue. But it wasn't just the Jews that were there. There were also Gentiles who wanted to be believers. And they went out and they spoke. And they spoke to the Gentiles during the week. And they were asked questions by the Gentiles. All through the week. And they came back on the next Sabbath to speak back in the synagogue. And they were asked questions. And on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. The whole city. Jews were only a small part of this city because they're not in Israel. And when the Jews saw the crowd, they were filled with jealousy and talked abusively against what Paul was saying. And they're saying, oh, that you're talking to all these people. You're bringing all the riffraff in. These people aren't like us. And that came from a point of jealousy. Because they'd been there a long time and nobody was really interested in hearing about Jehovah. Well, a few here and there. But now it's exciting. Because Jehovah had always been far off and been the God of Israel. Well, I'm not an Israelite. So what do I need with the God of Israel? Now, they come forth and they're speaking about the God of creation. The God who has brought salvation for everybody. Who will pour out His Spirit on everybody, on all men. And whose salvation is available for everyone who calls on His name. Hold it! Salvation for everyone? I'm an everyone. Anybody here not an everyone? Yeah, you are. We all count. Well, these people got upset. They said, and Paul and Barnabas answered, well, we had to speak the word of God to you first since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life. We now turn to the Gentiles. And for this is what the Lord has commanded us. You see, they had taken the word of God to the synagogue and they'd spoken it. And they'd heard. Then they took it to the Gentiles. People are saying, well, that's interesting, but we're going to keep our stuff. We like what we have. And I said, fine. We'll go tell somebody who's interested. And they did. And the Jews got upset. What are you doing talking about our God this way? And I said, hold it. Pay attention. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. Acts 13, verse 47. For this is what the Lord has commanded us. I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Seems pretty clear and straightforward there. I have made you a light to the Gentiles so that you can bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Doesn't sound exclusive at all. Doesn't sound like it's just for Israel. But in fact, that Israel is supposed to be a light. That's supposed to take salvation to the ends of the earth. Who said this? Isaiah. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verse 6. God's plan of salvation isn't a new one. That everyone would be included. It's always been His plan. His point was to make Israel to be a holy people. So that they could be a light in the darkness. Anybody notice that where sin is, it's dark? It's not so bright out anymore? I wonder if that's why it's so cloudy around here lately. Okay, probably not. But spiritually, it becomes dark and oppressive. When Don and I were in Amsterdam, prostitution is legal, and they've got gals sitting in windows, and they've got who wants to use whatever drug you want. We sell it in the local coffee shop, and we got little, not just tobacco stores, but everything you want to buy. And not just pot, but heroin and opium and cocaine. All this stuff is very, very available. And it's like, whatever you want to do. And the Netherlands have gone to society where not only is abortion okay, but so is euthanasia for old people. Well, if you become a burden to your family, well, we don't want you to suffer. We'll just give you a little extra drug and, then you don't be a drain on our society. And we don't want you feeling guilty because you're using up our resources. And when Don and I went to Amsterdam, I got to tell you, it really kind of felt dark, and neither one of us really felt comfortable there. Or that the city was vibrant. I mean, we went for a ride and we saw, it should have seemed much more alive, but it seemed very dark. And neither one of us were really taken by the city at all. But I think that is because it's a city which has turned its face away from God and very much embraced sin and called it good. Well, that's dark. And that's where the world is. The world is full of sin. Not just Amsterdam. Minneapolis has got more than its fair share. Brooklyn Center. I dare say my life. But yet I try to follow God and be a light to Him. And that the more I follow Him, the brighter my life will shine and the less sin I'll have in my life. And the more others can be led to Christ. And that's the point, is that we're supposed to follow God and be a light so that others can remove more darkness from their lives and that they too can then become a light for others. So here we have Isaiah saying this. Now Isaiah was probably the prophet second only to Moses as far as the Jews were concerned. Okay? Moses, preeminent prophet. Okay, there was it. I mean, if you... Moses. Moses was the one that led him out of the Holy Land. And King David was awesome. But, you know, he wrote many of the Psalms, but he wasn't a prophet, per se. He was King David. Different. You know, are we talking meat or fish? You know, poultry or fowl? You know, poultry or fowl. Whatever, you get the point. Here they are in Isaiah. The prophet who told the people of Israel, you're in trouble. You're going to get it. Repent. And they didn't, and Babylon came and flattened the city. Took the people into captivity and hauled them off. Well, that kind of thing makes an impression on people. So they tended to hold a little bit tighter to what Isaiah said. And Isaiah is saying that, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Wow. In Acts chapter 15, we have an issue, a problem. It's after their first missionary journey. And we now have a bunch of Gentile churches. We have a bunch of Gentiles in the church. And a lot of the good Jews saying, you know, I think we got to get them to do a little bit more here. Just accepting Jesus and being saved, it's not quite good enough. So these people started teaching that, you know, if you were a Jew, just accepting Jesus was good enough. But if you were a Gentile, accepting Jesus wasn't quite good enough to get saved. Now, you had to do a few more things. You know, you had to follow the law. You had to have the dietary requirements. You had to go to temple. You had to make sacrifice. You had to do... And they're going... And Paul and Barnabas are going, whoa, this isn't what we preach. This isn't what it says. What are you guys doing? We don't think this is right. This isn't the gospel. What? Who are you to tell us what? I bet you Peter and the other apostles, the real apostles, back in Jerusalem, would agree with us. Well, so Barnabas and Saul, they pack up and they head for Jerusalem to go take it to the real apostles, the actual 11 that were still there. 12, because they added Matthias. I think it was Matthias. Wasn't that the name of the guy that they added by lot? Yes, okay, good. I'm glad I remember something correctly. Okay. They went up to Jerusalem. And they started laying out their case. And they're listening to Barnabas and Paul telling about the miraculous signs and wonders, what God had done about the Gentiles, seeing that the Holy Spirit is on these people. They hadn't done all this stuff. And then James speaks up. James is the brother of Jesus, who didn't come to follow Jesus until after he died. But nonetheless, he's the earthly brother of Jesus. That is, his father was Joseph, his mother was Mary. Jesus' stepfather was Joseph, and his mother was Mary, but he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. So we looked, see what James has to say. Brothers, listen to me. Simon is described. Now, that is Peter, okay. It's described to us how God first shows concern for taking the Gentiles, people like himself. The words of the prophets are in agreement, and this is what is written. So he listened to what Paul and Barnabas were saying, what Peter had to say about the time when he brought the gospel to the Gentiles. And James goes to the Old Testament. He goes to Amos. And it's Acts chapter 15, verses 16 through 18. And it reads, "After this I will return and rebuild David's fallen tent. Its ruins I will rebuild, and I will restore it, that the remnant of men may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who bear my name, says the Lord, who does these things that have been known for ages." That's in Amos chapter 9. And James is quoting it. Taking us back to the Old Testament, showing us again God's heart. That all the Gentiles who bear his name and the remnants, that is the Jews, that he will restore them and they will seek the Lord. They listened and they took that. And they wrote a letter. They composed a letter that basically said, it's enough if you just don't eat food that's been sacrificed to the temple. Don't eat strangled meat with blood in it. Don't involve yourself with immoral practices and seek to be holy. That's all you got to do. You don't have to do all this other stuff. All these other hoops, forget about it. You're to abstain from food sacrificed from idols, blood from the meat of strangled animals, from sexual immorality. Not so hard. Well, it might be hard, but it's not such a long list. Don't have to do all that other stuff. Because it's always been God's plan that you're going to be saved, and you don't have to do anything different than what God says needs to be done for salvation. Receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Well, Paul goes out and makes a couple more missionary journeys. And on his last trip, he ends up getting arrested, taken to Jerusalem, and then being sent back to Rome. And he finally arrives in Rome after a couple of years of being in captivity. And those who were in Rome wanted to go see him, those who were Christians and those who were Jews. We want to hear your views are. We know that people everywhere are talking against the sect. People who were curious, they wanted to hear. They arranged to meet Paul. They went to speak to him. Some of them didn't like what Paul had to say. And they disagreed among themselves and began to leave after Paul had made this final statement. The Holy Spirit spoke the truth to your forefathers when he said through Isaiah the prophet. And this is Isaiah 9 or 6 verses 9 and 10, but it's Acts 28, 26 through 27, and it reads, "Go to this people and say, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, in turn, and I would heal them." Paul, in defense of what his ministry is, taking the gospel, goes one more time to the Old Testament saying, "We've brought it to you time and again. You're not listening. You're not seeing what God's doing. But if you will listen, if you will see, you can turn and call upon God and He will heal. He will restore." That's missions in Acts. It's the Old Testament laid out. This is the foundation of what's going on here. God hasn't changed His mind. Jesus is the fulfillment of the Scriptures, the fulfillment of the law, the embodiment, the divine who physically walked the earth, who died on the cross for our sins and for the sins of all who wish to be forgiven and are willing to receive Him as Lord and Savior. That's it. Now, we need to take some lessons from this. One, that those who don't know the Lord are to be our focus. We need to take the gospel there. Secondly, we need to understand that because we have the gospel doesn't mean that we can't become unseen. The Israelites had it. Many of the Jews had it. They had the example of their ancestors, but yet they turned their backs on it. We have the example of those who went before us. Might we not turn our backs on it? Not taking the gospel out is turning the back to Jesus, in my view, and what I've seen in Scripture. If we don't love others, how can we love God? Because He loves them. And if you reject them, you've rejected me. That's what He says. We don't want to do that. I don't want us to do that. So it's important that we lift up missions and we understand how important it is that those who don't know Christ come to know Him. We need to remember that missions isn't just someplace far off, but it's in Jerusalem, it's in Judea, it's in Samaria, and the ends of the earth. I've preached on that. Jerusalem, boom. Right here, in our little group. Judea. That'd be all around us. Those who don't agree with us who live right next door. Samaria. Those are the neighbors who are just over the hill. The ones that we hate are enemies. And the ends of the earth, I think the ends of the earth are still the ends of the earth. Haven't moved. And Jesus commanded us to be His witnesses there. Now, if Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and He said, "You will be my witnesses," then we need to witness. Otherwise, we're in rebellion. End of story. Either we do what He says, or we're not following Him. Let's follow Him. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before You and we thank You that You have always had a heart for the lost. That someone, sometime in the past, shared the gospel message with the person who shared the gospel message, with the person who shared the gospel message to us. To me, to each person here. Lord, we pray that we might each be faithful in taking the gospel message to others so that others might know Your love, that others might receive the blessing of Your mercy and of Your grace. Lord, give us a heart for missions. Give us a heart to be obedient and follow You. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.